Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. This week's podcast features a company based in Florida that hires work camper teams to travel the country, conducting physical surveys of commercial properties around America. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from Work Camper is specifically designed for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you are taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is too short, so choose what you want to do and when you want to do it by starting a business of your own today. For more information, visit www.smallbizrver.com. Mark Brady is the Director of Operations at ID Plans, a commercial property management solutions company based out of Tampa. For 20 years, the company has hired teams of work campers to trek across the country, performing physical surveys of commercial real estate properties, primarily at retail locations like malls and strip shopping centers. The teams confirm and record all the assets on the property. It might be the location of light poles in the parking lot, to the types of air handling equipment on the roof, and even the position of security cameras. That information is very useful to property owners who may not be within driving distance of the site. Then, if there's ever a problem, the owners can dispatch contractors to the properties and relay all the necessary information the crews will need to complete repairs. The surveys are also essential benchmarks to determine if utility meters are accurately accounting for water and electricity. Having the data is also helpful for property owners to secure bulk discounts when replacing aging equipment, by securing bids to replace X many air conditioners at X many locations. Mark, who is actually a work camper himself until he was promoted into his current job, will hire 16 teams of work campers to visit locations across the country to spend several days to a week on site conducting the surveys. The work campers would have to boondock at the retail spaces, but they are given credentials to show security guards and police that they have permission to be there. They also have limited access to water and electricity, but it's not like plugging into a power pole at the campground. The full-time contracted positions are semi-seasonal in that work can't be done in the winter months up north, but then the teams simply transition to warmer climates for the winter. It does require working outdoors in different conditions and the ability to climb ladders as high as 30 feet. The compensation is rather complicated in that it uses a formula based on the square footage of the commercial property, and assigns an amount to each item that must be documented, whether it's an air handling unit or sprinkler head. Generally, people can make between $1,000 and $2,000 per week. For more information about ID Plans and opportunities available to work campers, please welcome Mark Brady, the Operations Director, to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Mark. I really appreciate the time. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Yeah, well, I'm the director of operations at ID Plans. We are a commercial property management solutions company. And that's a mouthful there, but we've been in business for over 20 years. And traditionally, we've hired RV teams to do our field work for us. Essentially, we perform surveys on commercial real estate properties, primarily retail centers. Our RV teams go and look at all the different assets that are on a property, from light poles to electric meters, and document the details of each and mark them on a property where they actually are located. So our stuff is available to property managers to review their properties in great detail, make decisions on, order irrigation fixes or light poles that are out. They can send their contractor in to get the work repaired. But that's essentially who we are and what we do.
Okay, and you've been doing this for 20 years. And I understand now it's kind of new. You're going to start working with work campers.
Yeah, it's something that we've done over the last few years. Actually, it's probably more than that. In my experience, I was actually a work camp for hire. That's how I got started with ID plans. But because our work is so detailed and it takes 3-4 days to complete, to the advantage of having someone in an RV parked on site while they do the work. It makes for a great lifestyle if you love being full time on the road, get to travel all over and basically stay on properties free of charge. And the work is a lot of fun. But we've actually been using the work camper model for a good while.
So. Does this mean that the work campers would be boondocking pretty much and having to rely on their generators in order to be plugged in, so to say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So there's a definite dry camping boondocking type experience that's needed to most people, if they do boondock or dry camp, they love it. This would be for them. There's advantages of being on property. There's typically a water source. There's typically clean outs and things that you can use. And, so it's not as bad as it might seem. There are access points for us to utilize and extend our stays. But definitely dry camping, boondocking mm-hmm. required.
So what do the work campers do? What kinds of tasks are they involved in?
So we work in pairs of two when we do these, and it's computer work. Technically, it's we give the equipment an iPad and Apple Pencil, and they walk the property. And each time they walk the property, there's a set of assets that they're looking for. As an example, electrical. We're looking for any electrical meters or components of transformers and. Things along those lines. In some cases, we may be looking for security cameras, but each time we pass the make a loop on the property, we're looking for a different set of, could be dumpsters one time, it could be fire. So we're looking for fire hydrants and water shutoffs, landscape. So we actually diagram on the map, there's a mulch bed, if it's got shrubbery or trees. So we basically document the entire property with whatever is there. We've got software with an icon that represents it. We plot it on the map and, we create the property digitally.
Is this to help ensure that nobody is adding things to the property or taking them away?
To a degree, it gives a current depiction of the property. A couple of years later, we'll go back to the property and update it for the customer. But if a property manager has an office in Atlanta and their property is in Dallas, they can ultimately visit that property and see all of the different things that are there. So if they need to have a conversation with a lighting contractor for replacing lights, they can, have the details that they would need about the light pole height or the type of light fixture, even air conditioning units, the HVAC units on the rooftops. We climb ladders, get up on the roof and take photos, and we document the brand and the serial and model number. So decisions can be made, remotely. We have over a billion data points in our database. So property managers can do a survey in our software to pull out all Trane air conditioning units that are older than 2007. Their entire portfolio, their units will be listed there so they can make decisions on those data points.
Oh, that makes sense. So now they can say, rather than replacing just one unit, they can get a bid for doing 12 of them at different places. Okay, that makes sense. Now, you said that the work campers are working in pairs. Does that mean that a single cannot do this job?
Yeah, we've experimented with that. And unfortunately, one of the most important parts that we do are meter verifications. And specifically with water, we need to verify that a meter belongs to a tenant. It's definitely one of the most important things that we do, because we find that the research that we do in the field and then allow companies to do an audit on their billing, we find that our discoveries help them find savings, misappropriated tenants to meters where they may be paying for things they shouldn't be, et cetera. But in order to do that, you need to have two people. You need to have someone in the space itself running water and someone looking at the meter, verify that the water flow is happening. It could be done by one person. You just find that it's not as efficient process as having two. And, that's kind of the model that's been successful for us.
I suppose it'd be kind of hard to open up all the faucets and then run all the way to the back of the building and check and see if the meter is running and come back in and turn them off.
For sure. We're actually exploring some technology that might allow us to remotely control some of those so that we can turn on water, put this attachment on it, let it sit there with a wireless control, then go to the back and then remotely, open the faucet. But there are things that we're exploring to give us a little bit more independence, I guess, of one person being able to do it, but we're not quite there yet.
Okay. Are these jobs seasonal, or are you doing this all over the country?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would say it somewhat is seasonal because we can't do some of our work up north because we do irrigation. A lot of northern states will start to winterize their irrigation starting in October, and they don't turn it back on until April. So that's a big part of what we offer. With landscape and irrigation, we're checking out, where the irrigation zones are. So we try and do our work in the south in the in the winter months, and then of course when it's the summer months, we try and invert and go north. But we've got work across the entire country, and we stay working year round.
Okay.
And have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, how many hours a week do people typically work?
Well, the great thing about this is these are contractor positions, so it really is up to the individuals to determine that. The way we pay is, at the end of the project, once it's submitted for our quality assurance team to review. So it's really up to the team. If they want to make a lot of money, they can, work 7 days a week if they want. The quicker they turn in projects, the quicker they get paid. So it's real convenient too, because you're staying on the property. Work disruptions that happen due to weather, like if you're out taking a survey and it rains, you can go in the coach and do some computer work. Stops raining, you can go back out and, finish up your survey. So there's a lot of flexibility in the way the hours work and how people, work from week to week. People can take time off and say they want to take a week vacation here or whatever, or stop for the weekend and start back up on Monday. It's really flexible.
Okay. And how long does it typically take to do a survey for one property?
Yeah, on average, we find that it takes 3 to 4 days. Most of our projects are, 150 to 200,000 square feet, a typical shopping center. But there are times where we have, 500,000 and better. Those will take longer, of course, and really depends on how much other detailed work that we have. Northern states don't typically have as much landscape and irrigation, so those projects take a little bit less. Southern states typically have a lot more landscape, a lot more irrigation, those would take longer. So there's a lot of variables there, but 3 to 4 days on average is fairly accurate.
Now, are all of the jobs confined to a specific part of the country? Like one time, you'll be doing a bunch of projects in Florida before you move on?
We typically try and stay in a geography. Of course, we pay a dollar per mile for people to drive. So it's within our best interest to try and put someone on a route that makes sense. We typically assign 8 to 12 projects at a time, and they're, likely in a geographic area, or it takes them to a geographic area where they'll be for, a few months at a time. But as an example, we've got a team in Southern California that's working their way up to the Pacific Northwest. They're probably doing, two projects a week, maybe three projects a week. And by the end of the summer months, they'll make it up to the Pacific Northwest. So that's typical, pretty much how we try and schedule them out.
Can you describe the compensation that the crews get?
It's a major, there's a lot of, it's a formula that's based on a slide scale, and it's totally based on square footage of the project. There's built-in compensation where we think that it's a fair hourly rate that's built into the formula, as well as RV usage, generating usage, meal allowance, things like that, that's built into this formula. But it is totally based on square footage. And then we have some other ways that we pay out that are kind of hard to build into a formula to account for, like the number of HVAC units that are on a roof. We pay a dollar for everyone that's documented. Irrigation valve, we compensate for everyone that's on the property. So in the instances where it's not gonna be an average or whatever, where we feel like we need to compensate, even per hour in some cases of doing parking lot pavement markings, we'll pay $15 an hour for all the hours associated with that task. But I would tell you that, we typically find that people that work this full time, they can make anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a week. Of course, we have some people that do much better than that because they do, they're more efficient, their work is accurate, and they move on. So typically when someone is interested in the job and we talk through compensation, we can show them the history of different types of workers so they can get an idea of where their compensation would fit into that. And then we also allow them set up a conversation so that they can talk to existing workers and they can talk through, everything to kind of formulate their decision.
Okay, that's fair enough. So are there, you'd mentioned that you've got like meal allowances. Are there any other perks that people can get with this kind of job?
Yeah, not really. That's built into the payout. So we do pay a dollar per mile. We feel like that's compensating for the miles wear and tear, but it's also compensating in some way the time that it takes to drive. We are starting some other projects that are available. So it would be additional compensation for different type of work. It requires cross-training into a different software offering. It's pretty straightforward compensation per project and, mileage. Of course, we provide training, we provide equipment, all the support someone needs to be successful.
And how many work campers are you planning to hire?
We are targeting, I think we just received permission to hire another six. So that would be in addition to the two open that we already had. We bring our total up to 16 RV teams.
16?
16 total, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big fleet, yeah, for sure.
Are they required to make a commitment?
Nope, absolutely not. They're independent contractors, so, ideally we're making a fairly decent investment in them. We have found traditionally that people start with us, they stay for until they decide to retire permanently. But we've got some people that work for us that have been here for, I think they're going on their 10th year, another couple that's on their fifth year. And my wife and I, we would still be out there, except there was an opportunity for me to get in the office and do the work. But the work is fantastic. People start it. They typically don't leave it.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good compensation if it's $1,000 to $2,000 a week to do this stuff. And you can pretty much set your own hours and determine which region you want to be going to, I would imagine.
Yeah, we have a logistics coordinator that schedules out. So everything that we do is based on a deadline and the geography, I guess, when we consider where we need to send people. But our logistics coordinator is very experienced in this and typically works with an RV team to find out if there are dates they need to be someplace by. And if we can, coordinate a route for them to get to the, to the city they need to be in by the date, then we work it out. If not, we understand that they have to shut it down for a couple of weeks to go take care of something and then come back and carry on their route. But we try and be as flexible as possible and try and meet the deadlines. And We think a good balance, 16 teams, should give us all the flexibility that we need and allow us to meet our responsibilities for deadlines.
What traits or qualifications are you looking for in the teams?
If people have experience mechanically, if they have some technical skills, iPad familiarity is good. If they've got spatial awareness and orientation of like using maps and things along those lines. But really everything that we do, we feel like can be taught. If you've got, experience with Microsoft Office, that helps a lot. It helps the learning curve, shortens it. If they've got iPad familiarity, those are some of the big ones. I mean, of course, people with electrical or any mechanical experience, it allows them to see and understand what's typically on a commercial real estate property and identify it easier. But those are all the things that we want. And of course, they've got to be physically able to, work in all weather conditions, and they've got to be able to, climb ladders so they can't have a fear of heights. And, color blindness would be another thing that we would want to steer clear of. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward. We've got to require them to have $1 million in general liability insurance. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward.
Do you provide any training?
We do. What we do is so unique that there's things that you can bring to the job that will help you do the job easier. But in order to do it, there's standard that we're looking for, combining technical skills and just being able to be detail oriented and organized. But we're going to teach you how to use our software. We're going to teach you how to complete a project. It's typically a 2-week turn on training, where the first week you kind of watch another team completing the full survey. And then in the second week, they kind of invert. The new team does the survey, and the training team watches, observes, and answers questions. But the training continues on. We've got communication means that questions in the field can be answered in near real time. So if they get on site and they're unsure of something they're seeing, if it should be documented or what the heck it is, they can take a picture, post it, and we'll give them the support that's needed to get the answer and allow them to move on.
And you're recruiting for work campers right now?
We are, absolutely.
So what's involved in the hiring and recruiting process?
So it's a real simple process. Anyone that's interested can send an email to rvjobs@idplans.com. That email will send a response with a set of instructions. We're basically looking for couples. We're looking for a motorized coach, so class A, B, or C are fine. We don't allow towables, but motorized coach. We're looking for, they send a photo of themselves, the coach they drive, and the resumes. We'll set up an interview process. Basically, the questions are pretty straightforward, but it also creates some dialogue so that we can determine if they've got the right background with boondocking experience, and we can make sure they don't have fear of heights. But more than anything, it's an opportunity for them to ask questions about the lifestyle and just get a better description of the job and whatnot. Based on their resumes, we can pretty much determine if they've got the right experience that we're looking for.
Now, when you talk about fear of heights, there's a difference between going up on the top of a 10 or 12 foot roof and going on top of a radio tower. So do you have any kind of description can you explain that a little more?
yeah, great question. And you're right, there is a big difference there. Our roof lines are, the commercial properties, a one-story retail center. You're going to need to have a ladder that's probably close to 30 feet, an extension ladder. We do ask that they carry their own ladders up to 22 foot. And then if there's anything beyond that that's needed, we'll rent a ladder for them for that site. But typically a 30-foot extension ladder is enough. Sometimes it's larger than that. So in some cases, we've rented, you know, cherry pickers or booms, scissor lifts, things like that. But most of the, you know, the larger big box retailers, their roof lines are going to be higher than 30 feet. They might be closer to 50 or 60 feet in elevation. So they typically have internal ladders with roof hatches, but, you know, those will go up 45, 50 feet. You know, we provide a safety training, and we actually have a safety kit that allows them to be safe and secure wearing, you know, donning a seat harness with straps and carabiners. So as they climb these ladders, they can lock in and get up on the roof safely. And, but you're still 45, 50 feet up in the air. And, sometimes people aren't comfortable, from those heights. We don't work on ladders. Typically, we don't work on ladders, I should say. We access the point. It's usually flat surface roof, commercial roof surface, and we take photos of the components that are up there. Oh. So, but yeah.
Okay. Now, no towables. Everybody's got to have a motorhome. Why is that?
It's really more for aesthetics. You know, believe it or not, even the any type of coach that's parked on property is typically scrutinized by the tenants themselves, their customers, law enforcement. What we've found is that a coach typically is a little bit more presentable in that type of fashion. It's, you know, you don't leave the towable and drive in your truck off property to grocery shop or restaurants or whatever. So when it's there, you know. But it's really more for aesthetics than anything. I think over the years they have tried to do other options, and it just seems to get more scrutiny from our customers and the tenants on the property. We do provide tenant letters, you know, so if people stop and ask what we're doing or why we're parked there, it typically explains what it is that we're doing, that we've got permission from the property manager. And that's, you know, that's what allows us to be there. But even in some cities, they have ordinances against them. So in those cases, we have to park off property, or, you know, the campsite and kind of commute. But yeah, aesthetics.
Okay, very good. Very good. Because I was wondering if they were, you know, sound asleep one night and the police are making the rounds and they see this motorhome parked in the back of a mall or whatever the case might be, and start knocking on the door and wondering what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. It's kind of, you know, I think three or four times it happened to us, you know, some in the middle of the night. And mm-hmm. Usually the law enforcement are very understanding that they're, you know, they've been called to investigate. They get the information they need, and they, you know, kind of leave you alone from that point on.
Right.
But, it happens for sure.
I suppose you can leave the tenant letter or something like that taped to the front door or something like that, so the police officers can read that if they need to. But yeah. What can a work camper do to really stand out among other applicants?
Well, I think right now, because we have so much work, you know, we're interested in hiring people that want to do this full time and dedicate it. You know, if they want to do it part time, or, you know, just a month here and a month there or whatever, that's probably the only differentiating point that an RV team would make. We need them working.
Okay.
We need them working, yeah.
Okay, so if somebody is available to do full-time work,
definitely
talk to you guys right away. But if they're going to only want to do it for 6 months out of the year, you might still be interested, but
yes,
they'd get a full-timer would probably get extra credit points for that.
Spot on. that's kind of the way it's always worked. I mean, you know, traditionally, you know, the workflow can fluctuate. That's not the case right now. I think due to COVID, our demand for our services have increased tremendously. So years past, it was an advantage to have people that might set up for a few months and, you know, work at a campground and then come back to us when spring hits. But right now we've got enough work to keep people going. So we would still consider someone that's that wants to do it on a part-time basis, but we're really anxious to get people that are wanting to do it full-time.
Okay. One of the things that our viewers like to do is they like to combine work with play. So is this a kind of a job where they can work 3 or 4 days on site doing a survey and then take 3 or 4 days off to spend some time touring the area before they move on to their next assignment?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're turning in 1 to 2 projects a week, that's still going to afford you enough time to take 3-4 days to explore the area. It truly is. My wife and I took advantage of that whenever we wanted to explore an area. Took a tour of West Point Military Academy. You know, we went to the lighthouse on Montauk Point, Long Island. But some of the projects may be in an area concentrated. So you might have 3 or 4 projects that may take you, keep you in an area for an extended period of time. And while you're there, that may offer even more time to explore. But certainly, and that is up to the, you know, individual team. We have a team that's working in Southern Georgia that said, hey, we're going to take the weekend and go down to Destin, Florida and check out the beaches. And they'll be back online Monday, you know, so it's definitely something we would encourage for sure.
Okay. And they're not going to be like assigned to do a project in California, and then the next one is going to be in Nebraska, and then the next one after that will be in Oregon, and they're not going to be crisscrossing like that. You're going to try and focus them in that particular area relative to where they are. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. It would kill us if we paid people to route them like that. So we have to be efficient for sure. Okay. Yeah.
Super. So where can people get more information about this?
Well, they can find more information about the company by visiting our website, idplans.com. If they want more information on the job itself, they can send an email to rvjobs@idplans.com. And the email will give them a little bit more information immediately. And then if they react and respond accordingly with the photo requirements and the coach requirements resume, then we can talk through email to set up another call and ultimately allow people to decide if they're interested and want to pursue it further.
Very good. Well, it sounds like an excellent job, Mark, for somebody who wants to make some really good money on a full-time basis. So I hope we've got a lot of listeners who would be interested and reach out and give you guys a call.
Excellent. Thank you for the opportunity, and we're excited to partner with you guys. Hopefully we get some good interest in here and we get some full-time RVers.
I really appreciate Mark Brady coming on the show to talk about this very unique full-time opportunity with ID Plans for couples to make some really good money by performing physical surveys of commercial properties around America. Couples are sought for the work because the surveys require one person to turn on faucets and flip switches inside a building so that someone outside can test whether meters and cameras are working. People must have a motorhome for this assignment because most of the commercial properties won't allow a travel trailer or fifth wheel to be set up on site for aesthetic reasons, but a motorhome can be conspicuously tucked away behind a building. There is flexibility in that work campers can take time to play in an area before they move on to the next property, and Mark does his best to keep the surveys confined to a relatively close area. Because the company is paying $1 per mile to travel from property to property, Mark is not going to have teams moving from one state to another, only to swing back a few weeks later. He'll assign teams to survey 8 to 12 properties within a geographic region, so work campers can plan where they'll be for several months at a time. Like he noted, one team is working its way up the Pacific Coast from California to Washington while completing 2 projects a week. I like that ID Plans will work with work campers to create a route for them to travel if they want to be in a specific location by a specific date. Work campers need some technical skills to do the work, but training is provided to show people what to evaluate and how to document it using iPads and specific software. So if you're detail-oriented, well-organized, have some electrical and mechanical experience, aren't afraid of heights, like working outdoors, and are looking for full-time work, this is probably one of the most lucrative work camping jobs available today. For more information about ID plans and the opportunities available to work campers, visit www.idplans.com. Then, when you're ready to apply, shoot Mark Brady an email at jobs@idplans.com. Today's episode is sponsored by WorkCamper News. With its Diamond and Platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original source for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and peruse resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of WorkCamper News behind you. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, I'll feature an opportunity at a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers property. Thanks for joining me today on The WorkCamper Show.